Hey, Father Don.
Hi, Ed.
What time is it?
It's Friar time.
From Our Lady of Sorrows Monastery in Chicago, Illinois, and Servite High School in Anaheim, California, it's Friar time. Today's topic, the discernment of the seven holy founders. And now, here are your hosts, Father Don Seipel, OSM, and Mr. Ed Murphy.
Well, hello. Thank you for spending some Friar time with us. I'm Ed Murphy, and with me is Servite Friar, Father Don Seipel. Hello, Father Don.
Hi, Ed. Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's good to have you all with us today.
How you been?
By God's grace, well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a beautiful day here today. So, nice and sunny after some rain. So, we're doing, how about over there in Chicago?
Chicago's good. Nice and sunny. It's going to be a warm day today, so we're blessed.
Awesome. Very good. Well, why don't we go ahead and begin with prayer, Father Don, if you'd like to lead us. Thanks.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings and kindnesses to us. We thank you for the gift of all the charisms that the church has and the many ways by which we can encounter your love and your friendship. Father, as we continue to walk this Lenten journey, give us hope and peace that our Lenten disciplines can bring us closer and deeper into your heart, where we experience the mercy and forgiveness and love that we need. Bless us, Lord. Bless our hearers and our listeners, and keep them all close to you and your love. Make this our prayer in Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much. So today we are going to talk a little bit about discernment, specifically for the seven holy founders. As most of you know, the Servite Order was started by seven merchants, seven holy men who kind of came together. And, you know, what we really don't mention very much is what their discernment process must have been like. Right, Father Don? I mean, they had to have gone through something. This wasn't something they just decided overnight, hey, we're going to do this. Right? So definitely there was some process that had to be involved with that.
Yeah, I think the bigger part of the process was coming out of the context of their own time. The 13th century is considered one of the most pivotal moments in Western history because of all the movement from an agrarian community or society to an urban society. And with urbanization came, you know, crowds of people and populations, how do we feed people? You have, when you always have more people coming together, you have the opportunity for more joint ventures, but also at times more strife. In the context of all of that, you have the seven holy founders who were part of a larger group of people called the Laudese. They were a group of people who had a great devotion to the Blessed Virgin and were singing her praises, hence the word Laudese. And also, they lived a life of penance as well as service. So in the context of being members of the Laudese, the seven men continually heard deeper and deeper the call of the Lord through their devotion to Mary to go apart by themselves and to begin to kind of concretize in their discernment what God was calling them to do. We know that of the seven, two, possibly three were ordained, the rest were lay people. We know that some of them were married at the time. And at that time, you could, if you had the means, you could take care of your family and be allowed to go on and make your religious pursuits.
So it wasn't like they just up and left their families. It wasn't like, I had a young man ask me about that. It's like, how can they just leave their family behind? And so there had to be some discernment there within the family as well of understanding of what this was going to be like insofar as there was probably some support for the family. Or was the family well off enough where they could, you know,
I think there was both. We know there were cloth merchants, and in the city of Florence, being a cloth merchant in the 13th century was a very lucrative business. We always say that our founders were wealthy men. I think most likely they were upper middle class,
okay,
which at that time could be considered very wealthy, and they were part of the merchants guild as well. Remember, Florence at that time was part of that whole conglomeration of cities on the trade routes between the east and the west. So they were able to make the money they needed to provide for themselves and their families. But I think their discernment happened both within the family as well as within themselves. They had to realize at some point they were called to something greater than what they were doing.
Hmm.
It seems strange to our modern mentality that people could just simply up and leave their husbands or wives and follow religious pursuits, but it was a different time, and the church was a kind of a different experience back then anyways. So I think that what was happening in their hearts was something they discussed with their families. They had to, obviously, the families had to agree in order for them to be able to go off and pursue what it was they were called to do, you know. You know, I think one of the things that's important about the founders, too, is that they never, when they gathered together, they never really had the ideal of beginning a new order. Yeah. They never had this wasn't their idea of starting a new community. Basically, they wanted to be a community unto themselves. They wanted to be able to seek the Lord, serve the Lord together, and find their strength and their friendship among each other. But they never had the idea of starting another community. But you know, the Lord takes what we give him, and then he, with his grace, puts it together. And so from their humble beginnings, we have the Order of Servants of Mary now.
Do you think there's a possibility that this was meant as a short-term thing? Like, you know, I think about how people like to do retreat experiences where they'll go off for a month, you know, into the desert or somewhere where they can kind of, you know, gather their thoughts. Do you think this was something at where they were thinking, well, let's just kind of come together and pray and see what happens and get more in touch, and then it just kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, steamrolled into something else? Do you think there is a possibility of that, or do you think it was like they really were looking to start a community right off the bat?
I think they were looking to start a community among themselves. I don't know if they were at the beginning looking to take in prospects and novices, and that there's no evidence that says that they intended to found a community. There's no evidence that they didn't intend to. But I think the tradition of the order continues to be that they were first and foremost seven men who were searching for God.
Mm-hmm.
And the search for God is the basis of religious life, all the way back to Anthony the Abbot in the desert. The search for God, and they were so hungry with the desire to be in friendship and relationship with God. They were willing to change their lives radically and live a very poor life, a very simple life, that they could, as a community among the seven of them, be able to encourage each other, nurture each other's faith, and support each other in this search for God. The fact when the eighth person joined, is providence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we often start things in our lives that don't end up the way we want them to, but end up better because all of a sudden God sprinkles grace on that and says, here's something else. I am sure with relative certainty that their devotion to Our Blessed Lady was such an encouragement to them. We know from their life that people were drawn to them. They were drawn to their holiness, their simplicity. Their simple way of finding Christ drew people to them. People would come seeking them to pray for them, to bless them, to seek their spiritual counsel. You know, all this happens because of the fact that they continue to develop their own sense of Christ. As they search for God, they find him more deeply, and then as that happens, they become on that road of holiness, where they begin to radiate the power and the mercy and the glory of God within their lives and their words. So, you know, I think, in some sense, I think it's almost frivolous for us to kind of sit and say, did they start an order? Did they start an order? To me, what's important is that in the way that God does things, from this initial seven, we have an almost 800-year tradition of an order that continues to flourish, that continues to bring the love of God through its ministry and its witness as vowed consecrated persons to the world. And that to me is to me the significance of what our fathers are. And that these men, their life and their inspiration and their example of following Christ continues to inspire friars, enclosed nuns, sisters, and lay people throughout the world. And I think that to me is exciting, and that to me is what what we talk about their discernment. I'm sure that their discernment included all the normal things, celebrating the sacraments, studying the scriptures together, going to mass, having a spiritual director. We know that the Dominican St. Peter of Verona was very instrumental in helping our founders get together and form kind of that community. Peter was sent to Florence kind of as an inquisitor. He was there to seek out heretics and people who were not in line with church teaching and also loyal to the Holy Father and to the papacy. And so he was encountering all kinds of groups of men and women who wanted to start these kind of religious communes, these communities of consecrated persons. He came upon the seven and he was very impressed. Mm. Now we know that what impressed him the most was their deep, deep and authentic devotion to Our Lady. And as a Dominican, he would see that because they themselves have a deep and authentic devotion to Our Lady. St. Peter of Verona was the one who inspired our founders to follow the rule of St. Augustine, one of the most ancient rules of life in the church. He helped them write their first constitutions. He helped them to form their community. So, even this great preacher working for the Holy See saw something in the seven and helped them in their discernment to continue to become a strong community. But we know it's human nature. When we see people who are good and people who are holy or people who just radiate that wonderful, positive sense of themselves, we're drawn to them. We want to be part of them. We want to be excited to be near them because somehow, some way, they inspire us. That's what I think happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think happened. And that's why I think the community got started. I'm not a historian of the order, so I can't say that for sure. But in my continual almost 39 years reflection on my father's lives, it was the authenticity of their search for God and the authenticity of their holiness of life that drew people to them. And that's when they started having those knocks on the door, saying, "Brothers, I want to join you. I want to live toward chaste and obedient for Christ with you. I see in you something that I want and I'm searching for as well." I know that makes sense. That's kind of how I think their discernment went.
Right. Yeah, and I think some good examples in with the seven holy founders is they didn't do it by themselves, right? And discernment is not something that you can do by yourself. So it was obviously those seven out of this larger group felt this bond together, and they probably talked with each other quite often about what is it that they're being called to do, where do they feel that they can serve better, and they have this love for Mary. So that was that commonality, right? And when it comes to discerning, that's stuff to look for. What is it that you love? What is the ministry that you want to do? What is that that attracts you to Catholicism? What is it that you really have that drive? And find those like-minded people and talk about it. And yes, there are roadblocks. Like I said, some of them were married. I'm sure that was heavy on their hearts too, but the discernment process was about talking things out. And I think another thing is you see that it doesn't end, right? It didn't stop with them saying, "Okay, we're going to come together." There was a lot of discernment going on, whether to go up to Montecinario or stay in the city. And then when they went to Montecinario, do they allow more people to join? Do they leave Montecinario? So there's always a discernment going on. So it isn't like once you've made a decision that it's over with it. And I think it's a great example of coming together and working through this and not doing it by yourself.
Well, I think too, I think when we talk about discernment, there are two aspects that I think are important that the lives of the seven founders teach all of us. First of all, you're right, it is discernment can never be on one's own. We need somebody who's walking the journey with us. being our confessor, a trusted spiritual guide, a spiritual director, somebody hopefully who's trained in the spiritual life or in themselves are active living the spiritual life, who can listen to us with an objective ear and be able to say to us, are you listening? Are you really listening to what the Lord's saying? Are you hearing what God is saying to you? Because when we have those guides and discernment, then we know that we're hearing more deeply what God is calling us to. Why? Because the spiritual guide, the person walking the journey of discernment with us, is hearing the same thing. Hopefully they're also asking us questions that probe our hearts and our souls to be able to say, yes, this is what I want to do with my life. But more importantly, and this is it's a virtue that they had that I think we've lost or are losing quickly, even as people of faith, is courage.
Mm-hmm.
They had deep courage to say, we will follow the Lord and we will put everything else in order. We will follow the Lord.
Sometimes you have to take risks.
They followed the Lord in a time of great strife in the city. In a great time where people probably laughed at them. What are you giving up all this money and wealth for a simple life? What I have found at times in people who are discerning is sometimes they get to that point where they know the Lord is calling them, but they don't have that courage.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's where, again, a spiritual director or guide can say, you know, help them pray for courage. You know, any new adventure in our life is always going to be brought with questions and doubts and concerns. That's normal. And if we didn't ask those kind of questions, I think that somehow our discernment is not really being truthful or deeply honest. But at the same time, too, when the Lord calls us, we have to trust that He's with us, that He will give us the tools necessary by which to fulfill the task He asks us to do.
Absolutely.
We see it over and over again throughout the church's history, all the holy men and women and this wonderful cloud of witnesses who heard the call of the Lord and followed it no matter what happened. You know, we hear the people who spend years in hard labor in labor camps in Siberia and other places, and they come out full of joy.
Yeah.
They come out full of hope. Why? Because they, in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their own questioning, God was there. And I think courage is something that I know when I'm working with people who are discerning, is to encourage them to pray for courage. Pray for the courage to follow the Lord. Because ultimately what happens is God will never force us.
Right.
God will never forcefully push us into something. However, God will continue to gnaw our hearts because He loves us that much. He wants us to be happy. So I think in discernment we have to pray for courage. And the seven holy founders had that courage to say, I will follow, we will follow the Lord. And I think that's a significant thing. But unfortunately, I think in our society, in our world, we're seeing a lessening of courage because we get so swept up in the populist ideas or popular ideas that sometimes, let's admit it, go against the gospel. I think what the Lord's calling us as Christians now is stand up and say with courage, I believe this. And I think that's the same thing that should happen with regards to discernment. Being courageous is not easy.
No.
But we keep praying for it, and I think the Lord will bless us that way.
Yeah, you know, I think part of our problem, too, is there's a lot of fear, and one of the biggest things people fear is making a mistake. You know, they're afraid to make a decision that others are going to mock them if it's not the right one later on, so they're just afraid of making a mistake, so they hesitate in the decision. And, you know, part of it is just allow things to happen, let it, you know, let God work in there. And you know, sometimes it's, I'll ask, is there more excitement about this than fear? You know, there's nothing wrong with kind of being afraid of a little bit of fear about making a big decision. But, you know, there has to be an excitement there. There's got to be a real drive to say, you know, this is a direction I do want to go in. This is ministry I do want to do. I do want to answer this call, you know. So that is an important part, the courage to say, yeah, and to pray on it. You know, we can't expect that to suddenly happen. You know, it's like you have to pray and you got to listen. And I have a feeling that the Seven Holy Founders just wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. It was something they prayed a lot on, obviously, to give them the courage to do something like they did. So
I think there's probably an element of fear. I mean, I think fear is normal in discernment. Mm-hmm. I think it's a normal part. But I think that's where fear can give us the opportunity to fall deeper into the arms of the Lord and say, Lord, I hear this call, but I don't know. I don't know. I have these questions. And I think that's where fear in faith is it can be healthy, because when we put those fears before the Lord, we're inviting Him to come in and help us sort through that. And I think any discernment for any part, anything in our life, any new ministry or new career or whatever, is always going to have those little fears, because I think part of the fear comes from wanting to make sure that I can do this, that I can do what's going to be asked of me, that this is going to make me happy. I think those are honest questions, and I think they're good questions. But I think when we mix in faith with that, we put those before the Lord, and He gives them a chance to come in and say, okay, yeah, I hear you. Let me tell you what I see.
Right.
And the Lord to reassure us. And then I think He did the same thing for the Seven Holy Founders. Right? You know, the sermon is not easy. We know that. But when we keep growing in trust of the Lord, then we realize that, you know, that leap of faith always seems to bring the blessing.
Right.
Seems to bring a feeling that, yes, I am on the right path.
Right, and I think that fear leads to trust, right? You have to be able to trust, and that's where your strong faith will come in. So, well, anything else? We wrap up our discussion on the Sermon of the Seven?
No, I think we're good. I just think it's important that for all who are discerning, is just be honest. Mm-hmm. Be honest what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and what's going on in your life and your prayer. Find that trusted person that can help you discern, and just keep trusting God, because over and above everything, God loves us and will always love us. And in that sense of love, He calls us to use our gifts and talents and to serve Him and His people. So for those who are discerning, listen to us, know that you're doing it. You're asking the questions, you're praying through the emotions. Trust God and keep going forward.
If you'd like to contact us, you can email us at vocations@serviteusa.org. That's vocations@serviteusa.org. Or you can call us at 855-676-1233. So we hope you've enjoyed listening to Friar Time. It's time to wrap it all up. Father Don, thank you very much.
Have a good day. God bless.
You too. And God bless you all. We hope you hear us again soon. Take care, all.